Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
All right, we are back with part two of our podcast on sexual immorality. In the previous episode, we talked about sex before marriage and adultery. And this episode, we're going to talk about pornography. Sorry we had to split this up into part one and part two. We had some technical difficulties on part one, so we're coming back and rediscussing all the things we talked about that didn't get recorded today. So we've already talked about this, so we're just pretty much just rehashing it with each other. If you haven't listened to the first episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. So you can kind of see how we started this topic, and you'll see how we finish it today. But like you'll hear in the previous episode, this is stuff that's not normally talked about, stuff that's a little bit awkward, stuff that a lot of people deal with, and you know, it's not talked about, so they struggle with it. Me and Matthew were talking about that earlier. Is providing help to people who struggle with these things. I want to start off by saying, if you struggle with something from part one, come talk to us. It's me, Matthew, and Greg. We'll talk to you about any of this, anything you say to us. Will not leave us. You know, I got a lot of confidence in these people, as I've, you know, confided in them and things before, and that's never went to anybody else's ears. So if you, if you're dealing with something, struggling with something, I encourage you to come talk to us. So, you know, we can help you with it. It's not good to just sit by yourself and deal with things. It's good to have some good godly Christian men to kind of help guide you through it. And I don't want to say I'm a good godly Christian man, but, some of this stuff I've struggled with. So, maybe I can help you. You know, I'm sure, Greg and Matthew have had things in their life that they could, you know, help you with. So,
well, I mean, this is a very level playing field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, very few people are not affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, without further ado, like I said, today's topic is on pornography. So kind of reiterating where we left off last time, where we said adultery is not limited to sexual relations with another person. Adultery can be lusting after another person in your mind as well. Same thing with, you know, with pornography and fornication. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual act between you and somebody else. It can be lusting in your head. I mean, like Jesus said in Matthew 5, you got that pulled up, Greg? I know you said it last time. Let's see.
Yeah, I got it here. Let me find it.
Yeah. Sorry, I threw you on the spot. Here, I got it right here. Matthew 5, 27 through 28, it says, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Okay, so the sin is still sin whether you act upon it or not. If you lust in your head, it's the same as acting upon it. Today, I have three main points that I have, and I'm sure Matthew and Greg will probably add more to this, but, I have three main points of why you shouldn't partake in, pornography. And the first one is because Paul talks about it. If you look over in 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, Paul describes a bunch of different types of sinners that won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. When Paul mentions fornicators, the Greek word for fornicators in that context is pornos. A lot of people don't know that Greek word right there is pornos. So the word porn is actually in the Bible. It's just not, it's translated to English to mean fornicators. So, you know, so people who are partaking in fornication or who are fornicators are sinning. And we've already discussed that if you lust in your mind over this sin, that's the same as committing it. So, you know, Paul talks about, you know, these different things that want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, and partaking in porn, in a way, is fornicating. So we can see that the Bible explicitly states that porn is wrong in the Greek manuscripts. The second reason is Jesus says that if you lust after someone with the eyes, even without partaking, in Matthew 5, what I just quoted, then you still commit the sin. So even though you aren't partaking in the sexual acts, you're still lusting after it. You're still sinning. So Paul explicitly states that those people who partake in these things won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Two, Jesus says it's wrong. And three, lusting with the eyes comes not from the Father, but from the world. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, lusting with the eyes, similar to what we talked about with adultery, God's not going to lead you astray. God's not going to want you to go somewhere. He's not going to put somebody in front of you to sin. So, similarly, lusting with the eyes comes not from the Father, but from the world. So, you know, if you are full of the Spirit, if you're walking with the Spirit, you will, you know, you'll show the fruits of the Spirit. You won't show the works of the flesh. So, you know, lusting with the eyes is part of the flesh, and we need to be dead to the flesh. And be dead to sin. So those were three reasons that I had for why porn is bad. And then another thing I wanted to bring up, sorry, I don't mean to control, but another thing I wanted to bring up is how the industry itself, the porn industry itself, is a scummy, pretty much it's just a scummy way of making money. And it's, and Greg will talk about it here in a little bit, is how profitable it is as an industry, but also how it negatively impacts the people that watch it and the people who are involved in it. You know, you see, last time I talked about an interview with the counselor, you know, the one that wanted the woman to, affirm her husband into thinking that he was a girl or whatever. In another interview I saw, it was a former porn actor describing, you know, the need for numbing cream for shoots, and different medicines that are needed to finish different acts and stuff, just to get through shooting videos. And he also talked about a high suicide rate of many people that worked directly with him. I think he mentioned at one point that there were like 30 people that worked directly with him that committed suicide. And so, you know, it takes a huge toll on the actors and the actresses that kind of get swindled into the industry with a quick way of trying to... Nowadays, you can make a lot of money doing it. And you can make a lot of money, but at the same time, you know, you also lose a lot of things too. You know, the Bible says, you know, what does it profit if a man to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? And so you see all these people who, when the industry is done with them, they just toss them to the curb. Mm-hmm. You know, the industry just uses them to make money. And when they don't make as much money as they used to, they kind of push them to the side. And then that's where that depression comes in, because you can't get another job. You know, you struggle because people know who you are, you know, and you, it's really hard to escape. Especially this guy on this interview that I saw, he's he was in so many, you know, films and movies, and there's a ton of movies. Greg will talk about that too, but there's a ton of movies, and everywhere he went, he would get recognized as being this person. And so when he got saved, you know, it was hard for him to break that, you know, because everybody saw him as this other thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Greg will talk more about the industry. But do y'all have anything you want to add to what I've talked about so far?
It is true. It's a tragic thing because so many people that get into acting and get into, you know, wanting to become a star, they're convinced a lot of times that this pathway will get you there the fastest. And then on the other side of that, just like the devil always does, he paints you a picture, but he doesn't tell you the end game. And so they end up basically in a dead end, and they're trapped.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same way with any addiction, same way with so many things that people get, you know, wrapped up in, and you see a tragedy, and the outcome is that they feel like there's no hope on the other end. And right. So, like you said, many of them, you know, take their own lives because they can't find the way out. The sad part is, as Christians, there's not much of a hand reaching out. Like Christ would reach out, like he did in the scriptures, to even the woman caught in the, you know, act of adultery. You know, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He forgave her. It took her, you know, repenting from that. But the fact is that I believe we mentioned it last week, which didn't get recorded, that we should be praying for these people. Right. I mean, desperately praying for them.
Yeah.
That as the same way that people in other countries are that worship other gods are starting to see Jesus in different ways, it's no different than these people, you know, that the Lord revealing himself to them in a way that they turn from it.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing to see, you know, even a revival come out of that and, you know, choke that industry out. God can do that.
Right, right.
But I think we turn a blind eye to it too.
Yeah.
And we, you know, look away from it and sometimes condemn these people. Mm-hmm. And so it is a matter of prayer. Because in two instances, one, it's them reaching out, you know, seeing Jesus, but also it's ridding the world of something that is turning more people away from God. And so
I feel like too, a lot of people think that these people are too far gone too. You know, like there's no helping them. And you know, when you listen to the guy that I listened to that had his interview, is, you know, he isolated himself, he was alone, and he wanted to kill himself.
Yeah.
But there was still hope for him, you know, and he didn't realize that at the moment, but it took somebody to reach out to him and, you know, guide him toward Christ. And, you know, too many times we've talked about this before, maybe not us, but me with some other people, is just like homosexuality, people think people who struggle with homosexuality are too far gone. You know, they've already thought too much into this, but
they're not.
You know, you look at people who detransition, you know, when they're transitioning to be, you know, there's no person that does not have hope if they're still living.
That's right? the thief on the cross.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's as far as you can go.
Right.
To the point of, you know, judgment and death. And Christ says, you'll be with me.
Well, you can't ever count God out.
Exactly.
Right. And I mean, that's the whole, it's really the bookend, so it's just the beginning and the end for our lives. So we begin with the miracle of birth, which is only through God. And then when we've lived our life and we move on, then we're, you know, we're going to meet God one way or the other. But I'd like to read some scriptures here. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 5. I know I said I wasn't going to read them all, but I am.
Go ahead.
This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Mm-hmm. So verse 1 tells us that perilous times shall come. Well, they're here.
Mm-hmm.
You go down to verse 3, one of the characteristics was without natural affection. Well, anything in the pornographic industry is definitely unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 4, it's lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, denying the power thereof. In verse 5, it says, turn away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the Bible, you know, specifically tells us to stay away from this.
Yeah.
But Satan shows it as something that's good, something that's fun, something that doesn't have any repercussions, and that's very contrary.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's repercussions all the way around.
One thing that came to me when you were reading that is, you know, the whole part of lovers of their own selves. It made me think of, you know, last time when we talked, when I was talking about, you know, we're drawn away of our own desires, you know. A lot of people don't want to give up themselves. I think this is why pornography is such a hard topic for a lot of people, is because they're so caught up in it and the, you know, the immediate feeling mm-hmm. when you watch it, the dopamine hit that right. we talked about a little bit. They're so caught up with it that it's so easy to give in to your own desires, to your fleshly desires. You know, and it's really hard to deny yourself. That's what the Bible tells us. Right. I saw a person with a bag the other day, and it said self-love on it, and I was like, man, I get it. You know, right. like self-love, yes. You know, you don't need to hate yourself, but at the same time, you need to deny yourself. You know,
right. Well, to add into that, something that God showed me last week. This is nothing new, but at the core of all sin is I.
Mm-hmm.
When you spell it out, it's about our pride. It's about what we feel entitled to, what we reward ourselves with, what we want. I mean, Satan, as Lucifer, he said, I will ascend to the stars of the throne. You know, mm-hmm. he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. He wanted to be God. Because he was looking at himself, not God.
Right.
And like Christ said, the two greatest commandments is love the Lord thy God with all heart, mind, soul, spirit, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He never says, you know, anything about loving yourself, because if you love God and you love others, that's the greatest love you can have for yourself, is to give love and care about other people. Because when you're doing that for others and you're loving God and you're, you know, trying to live close to Him and trying to draw from Him what you need, then you're giving you the best you can give to yourself. But when we turn to sin is when we're turning inward and indulging in things we think we want, like He tempted Eve with the fruit, you know. It's the same way, is that it's always about us when it's sin.
Right.
You know, and that's where the devil wants us to turn inward. If he can get us isolated from others, we become selfish.
Right, right.
And that's what we were before. Satisfy the, you know, the needs of the flesh, like in, you know, Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We walked after the flesh, not after the spirit, you know, all these mm-hmm. things. And so it's always about us when it's sin.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking about taking care of ourselves, but when we indulge in things that we want and we're not crucifying our flesh,
right.
that's when we sin.
Right.
And that's, you know, the opposite of what God wants for us. And that's defying God, is when we love ourselves right. instead of loving God.
Yeah. Didn't you say a scripture earlier too that with fornication, you know, it's a sin against yourself?
Yeah. As David talked about it in Psalms 51, he said, "Against thee only have I sinned," and of course, you're right.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
It's a sin against our own self, our own body. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hurting ourselves,
right?
Mind and soul and spirit.
Yeah.
Right. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about that also. It's verse 18-20 says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Yes,
what know ye not that your body is a temple of the mm-hmm. Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
Mm-hmm.
So fornication is the only form of sin that I can read where you are doing it to yourself,
mm-hmm.
to something that you don't even own.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and I didn't, until I started this whole study, I probably read that 100 times, but let's get right over it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
But let me...
So are you saying you pick and choose what you read in the Bible?
But before we get into all the details and all this, let me kind of explain. I teach the young men in the teen boys class, and I felt led to teach on this or teach against it. And I actually argued with God for several months about it. And so I went and talked to our pastor, and you know, he said that he felt there was a need for it, but that he also felt like that I needed to get each young man's parents' approval. And I can say that every parent, it was unequivocally, you know, do it. They all see the need for it. They mm-hmm. all see the risk for it. And anybody that has a smartphone has encountered it at some way or other. Mm-hmm. We talked about it before we started this. How many times have you tried to Google, because that's what you do, you Google everything, and, you know, something very innocent, but yet something quite contrary comes up.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a while ago also, that statistics show that you have 0.2 seconds to decide whether you're going to scroll on past it or click on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as hard as it is for adults to make that decision, it's even harder for a teen to do it. Oh, and not yeah. just boys, teen girls too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the basis behind the research and the study that I've done. We did a series on it in our class, and I was really proud of the young men in my class, because they were very open and receptive to it, and we were very honest with each other. So, you know, I feel like that, you know, that we gained a lot of ground
mm-hmm.
through this study. So, but. Let's look at the industry before we go into the personal aspect of yeah. it. Let's just look at the industry and let's look at we can start with some statistics here. In mainstream television, whether it be the big screen or whether it be made for TV movies or whatever, in 2023 there was 506 mainstream movies produced. On the other side of that, there was over 13,000 pornographic movies made.
Gosh. I know you talked about that last week, but it still blows my mind.
That breaks down to 35 a day, every day.
God.
And when you back that up and you see that B-movie actors, stand-ins, and fill-ins for the mainstream movies, they make an average of $138,000 a year. And these people are drawn into the porn industry with promises of fame and fortune. The average pornographic actor or actress makes $65,000 a year. And if you put that in a perspective, a teacher in Georgia makes $64,000 a year. We pay our police officers $55,000 a year.
Yeah.
So they're not making any more money
right
than anybody else
right
that has
them. And I'm sure that's probably skewed a lot too for the few that make a lot of money.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
That's sad.
The porn industry is a $97 billion a year industry.
God.
And there are over 25 million pornographic websites. That is 12% of all the websites worldwide. The pornographic industry takes up 12% of them. And it's projected that in 2025 that the VR or the virtual reality porn industry will be somewhere around $1 billion.
God.
And it's you know, it's just amazing to me, and it just blows me away at the money that is thrown at this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, it says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, peace, love, and meekness." All the money is being made by just a handful of scumbag people.
Yeah.
Who don't care about the actors, the actresses, the people who film, or the people that are indulging in this, you know, in this sinful act. They don't care about them. They just care about the money.
Well, oftentimes these women that are in these films or movies or whatever you want to call them, oftentimes they begin at age 18. It's supposed to be regulated. How much of it's regulated, how much of it is prior to 18, but they say that the average age range of a beginner is 18 to 22 years old, and a large number of them have been sex trafficked at a much earlier age, and they have transitioned or graduated, if you would call it, up to this. But by the time they're 25 years old, they're used up. You mentioned a while ago when they're not money makers anymore, you know, they're kicked to the curb, and right, truly they are.
Right.
The people, and not just women, but men also, that are doing these, 60% of them are drug addicts. You mentioned a high suicide rate earlier. I've read that it's as high as 30-some-odd%.
Wow.
And it's, you know, they don't, once they're out of this industry, just like you said, they can't find a job, they can't find work, they can't find friends. Their family have abandoned them. And they're pretty much lost, you know, with the world. But, and so many of them end up, you know, doing whatever they have to do to survive.
Right.
And it's not a, you know, many of them have, because of frequency that they have sex, not only with the, you know, with the sexual diseases, they have all kinds of problems with their own personal health.
Right.
And, you know, they're all on, you know, they're all on high doses of medication and multiple abortions. I mean, it is not
fulfilling.
It's not the life that they thought they were going to get.
And another about that too, it's sad that, you know, people who partake in porn don't think about that. You know,
right.
If everybody boycotted the pornography industry, you wouldn't have to worry about that, right?
Right.
But it's, you know, this world is so perverse. You know, men don't have a lot of self-control anymore. We talked about temperance, self-control mm-hmm. being a fruit of the spirit. Mm-hmm. A lot of men, and I say men because, you know, I really feel like pornography mostly affects men. Like mostly it's men that watch it. I don't know if you have a statistic for that proves me wrong, but
it'll prove you right.
But yeah, a lot of people don't have that self-control anymore. You know, I've struggled with that, you know, from time to time in my life. But you know, it's such a money-making machine because people indulge in it.
Right.
And, you know, when you partake in it, you don't think about that. You don't think about the person on the screen.
Well, and what I tried to explain to the young men that's in my class, you know, and don't get me wrong, all the guys that's in my class are very respectful. They're a great bunch of guys. I tried to explain to them that, you know, all of you guys have a sister. All of you guys have a mother. All of you guys have an aunt. You know, all of you guys have somebody that you look up to. And these women that's in these videos and these movies and things, they're somebody's daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, they're somebody's sister.
Yeah.
Some of them have children, so they're somebody's mother.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, would you want somebody looking at your mom or your sister?
Right.
You know, and that's kind of the way I went at it with them.
Yeah.
And you know, visibly angry over it. I think that's something that gets lost.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and but you were talking about, you know, the statistics, and we'll do the adults first, and then we'll kind of finish out with the youth, because the youth is really why I even started any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But 69% of all men and 70% of all women say that at some point they look at pornographic material on the internet.
Wow, 70% of women?
69% of men and 40% of women.
40% of women, okay, I was about to say.
And the ones that claim addiction, 11% of men and 3% of women are self-diagnosed addicts. You know, and I'm sure it's much higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they describe themselves as having a, you know, pornographic addiction. And that's as high as alcoholism. That's mm-hmm. as high as, you know, as drugs, that's as high as any other kind of addiction. And when you bring that into, you know, into our world, if you look at the church setting, sorry, Brother Matthew, 5% of youth pastors.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 1 in 5, which is 20%.
Man.
Of senior pastors, 1 in 7, that's roughly 13%.
Mm.
Say that they are addicted to pornography. And just the ones that claim to only view it is much higher than that. But what really shocked me was only 7% of what would be the religious establishment, churches or, you know, synagogues or, you know, or whatever, only 7% of them have any kind of program to help people that are struggling with porn addiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, the numbers are really one-sided here. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to, which now, some of these statistics that I gave, I didn't specifically give in my class.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hide it from them, but, you know, I didn't want them associating a high percentage rate with approval.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's kind of...
Yeah.
And if you looked at the divorce rate in this country, 56% of divorces are because of some type of porn addiction.
56? Is that
56%.
Man.
And the numbers are not any different for Christian home versus non-Christian home. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same.
About that. So I was talking to Rachel about, you know, this podcast, and she told me that some couples watch it together. And, you know, I was thinking about this. I know we didn't talk about this last time, but, you know, one, it's sin because you're lusting after somebody else other right. than your significant other. But how sad it is that, you know, you mentioned men fall into it a lot more than women do. Mm-hmm. You know, you said 69%. 69% of men and only 40% of women. But these women might not realize that they're enabling their husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, to, you know, to fall victim to an addiction.
Right.
And, you know, that was just something that was on my heart. I wanted to say is, you know, watching it together doesn't make it any better. You know, it's not,
right.
You know, your husband watching another woman on the screen performing sexual acts beside your wife is no different than you watching it by yourself.
Right.
You know, how is that any worse? You're still lusting after that person on the screen.
It don't make no sense.
And, you know, how sad it is for, you know, for these people that might fall victim into addiction because you think it's an innocent thing you're doing when, you know, sin, you know, it's like a mud ball, you mm-hmm. know, like you throw mud on it, but and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger yeah. and bigger mm-hmm. until you get rid of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's best not to partake in it at all,
yeah.
you know, or else it'll get bigger
well,
and worse.
That's why
and
it
worse.
Says to flee it, you know, flee, run away
yeah.
from it. It's to, I mean, at the core of all of it, it's there, are, you know, any sin or temptation is a trap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just how the package on the outside looks. And the devil's figured out ways to draw different people in with different things.
Right.
You know, I mean, some temptations might be too many donuts.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
or, you know, eating too much or,
why,
you know, partaking
you
too much.
Why'd you look directly at me
yeah.
when you said that?
No, there's a mirror right here.
he said,
there's a mirror right here. It's not you.
Right at me.
It's not you. No. No. You know, that's the thing is that no matter what the label is, the main ingredient is always going to be, you know, something to indulge myself in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, I mean, you can have too much of a good thing can be bad for you.
Right.
Too much of something innocent can turn into a god.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
that's the problem is that, you know, no matter how you label it, no matter what degree we
right.
put on it, you know, any kind of tool or mechanism that gets our eyes off God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very, don't want to say give any glory to the enemy, but it's a very effective tool.
Mm-hmm.
To draw people away. And once again, we talked about Adam and Eve last time we were together. When Adam looked at Eve, you know, after, you know, God made her, I'm sure he was drawn to her
right.
physically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, spiritually too. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing is that man's supposed to be drawn to a woman. You know, I mean, that's the way why God made us different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is Satan uses that, you know.
Right.
and saturates our mind with it, or, you know, and if we're allowing that, or if we're soaking our, you know, if we're not soaking ourselves in the Word and we're soaking ourselves in something else, our minds are going to be on it. We're going to be drawn to it. It's going to be what we partake of.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I mean, Pastor Mike quotes that scripture all the time, Philippians 4, verse 8, you know, whatsoever things are just, you know, whatsoever mm-hmm. things are true, you know, think on these things.
Think on those things.
You know, if there be any virtue, think on those things. And so, you know, when you're getting your mind away from it, you know, when you get your mind away from God and the things that are true and the things that are just, that's when you're going to fall. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, anybody that's struggled with anything, whenever you're away from God, because that's your strength, you know, in my weakness he is made strong. Mm-hmm. When you're away from him, you're super weak, super mm-hmm. vulnerable. You know, when you don't have the armor of God on, you know, when you don't have the, was Ephesians 5, Ephesians 6?
6, yeah.
Yeah, Ephesians 10. 6 with the armor of God, you know, you're vulnerable to be attacked by Satan, and Satan sees that and attacks mm-hmm. you in that moment. That's why we're supposed to pray without ceasing, you know, yeah. to be continually walking with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking with God.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of leads to this, too. We didn't discuss it. We discussed before the podcast, but we didn't discuss before our microphones went out last week. But, you know, one thing I put on here, idle hands are Satan's workshop.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not doing the things of God, when you're not walking in the Spirit, when you're not progressing in a closer relationship with God, that's when Satan comes in and wreaks havoc. And, you know, that's, like I said, when you're the most vulnerable, that's when he attacks you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to be continually walking with God, not get complacent in our walk, or else we'll fall victim to Satan's traps. Like you said.
Well, and something that I never thought about, and something that kind of struck me is really, I don't want to say really hard, but it was almost an eye opener for me when you look at you know, addiction to pornographic material, it is exactly the same numbers as it is with somebody that has a substance abuse problem or somebody that has an alcohol addiction, as far as their lowered performance on their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have the higher paying jobs. They distance themselves from their families. They don't want to be around their spouse and their children. They don't want to be involved in the everyday, you know, raising of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And all the characteristics is exactly the same as any other form of addiction.
Yeah.
You know, which was something that I had never even, you know, crossed my mind. But
it becomes a god in their life.
Right.
It does. And then the other side of that, too, is the shame.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're a Christian, that they have the shame, the guilt, you know, but they also feel like they're stuck.
Yeah.
And people feel that way.
Yeah, I got to say this before I forget. I'm bad about that. That's why, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I heard somebody saying this too, is Satan will tempt you into saying, you know, God's not going to punish you for that.
Mm-hmm.
God's not going to, God doesn't care if you partake in this. Mm-hmm. You know, God, just do it. You know, you want to do it.
Right.
And then once you do that, you're stuck in that shame. Then Satan tells you again, God will never accept you back.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right.
On the flip side, he's laughing at you.
Yeah, he's laughing at you saying, you know, you can't come back from this, you know. And then it's, you know, it gets even heightened because then you're in a state of despair. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about the people who partake in it. I mean, who are the actors and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But the same thing happens with the people who watch it. You don't realize it in the moment because it's just mm-hmm. that quick hit of enjoyment.
Yeah.
But looking back on it later, you're like, man, this caused death. You know, may not always be a death in an actual sense, in a literal sense, but right. a death in relationship with Christ.
Spiritual.
Spiritual death. And, you know, it's if you're continually living in sin, you know, you're going to stay in death, you mm-hmm. know. That come to my mind.
No, that's good. I mean, and that's the truth. Because, once again, it's like anything that when you fail, first of all, you were tempted, enticed, and you took the hook. Mm-hmm. You went after it. And, of course, when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. So you committed to it. Because, see, the lust is there, but until you commit, you haven't sinned. Mm-hmm. If you can turn away from it, run from it, that's what you're supposed to do. But if you commit to it and you go forward, then you've failed. Okay, and then if it continues, like you said, the cycle of sin is death. So, you know, what Satan's dangling the hook, then when you're caught, he's laughing at you.
Right.
And he wants to see you destroyed. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, that whole scripture of 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Those two words are so important because when you look at sober, I mean, it means to be calm, collected in spirit, to be temperate, dispassionate, circumspect. That means I know the devil's running around here somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's like it's like why do we put up a security system or cameras around right. our house? Because right. we know that sometime, God forbid, but sometimes somebody may wander around our yard wanting to take something, or even worse, want to try to break in. So we'll have cameras around the house, you know, and we'll check them. Or if one dings, we're going to be wondering
right.
what's going on.
Right.
Why, you know, our spiritual life should be the same. Because we know we got an enemy that hates us.
Right.
You know, it says, be sober, be vigilant. What does the vigilant said? It says, I can get it to come up. It says, keep watch. You know, what are we watching? You know, what are we keeping watch over?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like the sheepdog out in the field. He knows his job is to keep watch over the sheep or whatever flock he's got. That's his job. He does it until he'll die for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we got family, that's our job is to watch. And if we're single, you know, it's our job to watch over our own, you know, and keep watch because God tells us to keep watch.
Right.
You know, because your adversary, individually, he's got every one of our names.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming after each one of us.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's got probably every one of us a demon assigned to our detail yeah. trying to come after us. Thank God we've got angels encamped around about us. But if we wander like the sheep, sometimes we wander looking for greener grass
mm-hmm.
away from the shepherd, and what do we end up doing? We're in a mud patch or something. We struggle, we get deeper, we get stuck.
Right.
And we try to get out, and what happens? We sink. He gets us out. He rescues us. Yeah, we're going to have scars.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have, you know.
Chastisement.
But we're going to learn from it, hopefully.
And
that's the thing is that if we can realize every day we're going to get attacked.
Right.
But it's so easy for us to say, well, I'm just going to take it easy today.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, we get bored or we get our mind distracted and we let our guard down. What happens? The enemy can come at us from any angle.
Right.
And so it is an everyday thing. Crucify the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every day. Pray every day. Get clean every day. If we fail today, we work hard tomorrow.
Right.
Don't give up and quit. Because that's the problem, is that if you give up and quit, you're no better than you were when you failed to begin with.
Right.
You're not going to get out of it without if you give up. That scripture says, I'll go ahead and give you this and I'm pretty much done. It says, whom resists steadfast in the faith, that roaring lion walk about seeking whom he may devour. We resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The blessing is knowing I'm not the only one
right.
going through it. I got brothers
right.
and sisters in Christ that are fighting the same fight. That's why we can't walk alone. That's why we got to walk with each other and keep each other, you know, uplifted, accountable, encouraged. It says, they're in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his glory, his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a little while. Suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We're going to struggle with a lot of things in this life, and each one of us has a different story on what we're struggling with. But sooner or later, that struggle, we're going to grow from it, get better at it. We're going to be able to help somebody else with their struggle because of our struggles. And if we struggle, he's going to help us become complete. He'll establish us, give us sure footing. He'll strengthen us, and he'll settle us. He'll give us peace. Before we leave this world, we're gonna have learned something. If you're a Christian, you're gonna learn some things before you leave this world.
Right.
You know, you're gonna have a story to tell. You know, I mean, you ask Abraham and any of those that are in heaven now, they had a story to tell, what they went through. Mm-hmm. You know, what the choices they made. But that's the main thing is knowing. We're going to go through temptations. We're going to go through trials. We've got to learn, first of all, the enemy is going to attack. Right. First thing, you know, before you even get your socks on, you're going to get attacked.
Right.
So if we're ready for that much, like you said, with the armor, start putting the armor on before you get started.
And like I mentioned last time, you know, God's not going to leave you high and dry. I mentioned on the last episode, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, God will make a way of escape. You know, you just got to be looking, like you said. You just got to be willing to leap for that escape. Mm-hmm. You got to be looking for that escape, and you got to decide to go that way. You know, you know, you see these, you know, like on TV shows, somebody's running from the cops. They can, oh, I can jump out of this. You know, go down the fire escape.
Yeah,
you know, they choose the escape. They're not going to choose to get trapped, right? Yeah. We need to be the same way in, you know, choosing that escape and be vigilant and actually see the escape.
Right. The last thing that I got here, which is where all of this started from anyway, was our youth. 73% of all teenagers, boys and girls, the statistics are the same across the board, have been exposed to pornography by the time they were 13 years old.
It's awful.
Once they're exposed to it, it promotes stress, anxiety, and depression. It lowers their academic skills.
Mm-hmm.
If they're athletes, it lowers their performance skill. It lowers everything about them except their stress and anxiety level, which it raises.
Yeah.
When I'm quite a bit older than you guys are.
Not too much.
When I was a teenager, you know, about the most thing, you know, the most pornographic material that there was, you know, somebody's, they called them nudie magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you, Brother Matthew, you mentioned last time that it was almost a rite of passage, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
But these kids today, they face a completely different demon.
Yes, sir.
You know, they face, we read the scriptures a while ago of unnatural.
Yeah.
Well, the pornography that's out there now, and I'm not saying that any of it was good, and I'm not saying any of it wasn't bad, but what's out there now is really perverse, and it's really...
so much more graphic, and, for sure.
And it's so unnatural that, you know, these young people have unnatural expectations and unnatural ideas of what... you know, of what a sex life is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that the industry has changed as society has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every one of our kids have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we have allowed Satan access into their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying throw your smartphones away.
I wish we could. Honestly.
Sometimes it would bring back the flip phone. Sure.
But I am saying, know what your teenager's watching.
Exactly.
And I said it last time, know who your kids are hanging out with.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing. And you know, there's some statistics that show that out of that 73% that were exposed to pornography by the age of 13, they're exposed to very unnatural things in the forms of like bestiality.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they're 15, you know, that's about as unnatural as it gets.
That's right. Terrible.
Right.
And I mean, it really could be, you know, that's a sickness, that's an illness. But not to condemn anybody and not to say that anybody's too far gone, like we've already talked about, but you know, and I'm just echoing what you said earlier, you know, if you're listening and there's something, and I don't care your age,
mm-hmm.
I don't care your gender. However, if you know, if a woman approaches me, I will include my wife.
Yeah.
But I would rather them go to my wife. But seek out help.
Amen.
You know, if it's not one of us three, seek out some help. Seek out some godly counsel, some godly help.
Yeah.
You know, go to the scriptures for your answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been given several that I could write down and really study.
You know, and if somebody needs these scriptures, contact us. And mm-hmm. if you only want scriptures, that's all you'll get.
Yeah.
Along with our prayers.
Yeah.
Amen.
But you know this, you know the. Everywhere you look, from magazine ads to, you know, car commercials on television, it's all pointed at visual.
Yes. And,
you know, we talked before we started recording that men are visual creatures. And they know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, you know, why the ads are designed, why they're, you know, how they're designed.
Yeah.
But, I think that's about all the boring statistics I can give.
It's important. It's definitely eye-opening to see how, you know, something that's so everyday in today's society, how it negatively impacts people's lives, and they don't even realize it. And we'll probably beat this like a dead horse. You're not too far gone to where you can't get back to Christ, and you know, there's always going to be redemption as long as you're alive, but the important thing is to turn to Him. Proverbs 3:6-7, this is like one of my favorite Bible verses. I could probably quote it to you, but I don't want to mess it up and then everybody get mad at me on the podcast. So it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So, you know, these verses right here are telling you to turn from evil and point toward God, turn your eyes toward God. Because, you know, we have the lust of the eyes, you know, we struggle in our flesh. So we need to look to Him, Amen. You know, we need to look to Him to direct our paths. Again, beating a dead horse. I mean, we're all here for you. I mean, we've all struggled. Everybody that's talked on this podcast, I'm sure, has struggled in some part of what we've talked about in the last 2 days or the last two podcasts. And so, the point of this podcast isn't to browbeat people that struggle with this, because we've all had issues, we've all had problems and sins that we deal with on a constant basis. You know, we all have different lusts, but the point is to turn away from those. We really just wanted to bring light to,
right.
you know, these things that are wrong that many people might not think are wrong.
Exactly.
We wanted to show, you know, what the Bible has to say about it. That's the whole purpose of this, is to talk about tough topics and what the Bible has to say about it, not what Tyler has to say about it, not what Greg has to say about it. I mean, we can tell you how stuff like this has influenced our lives. But the point is to talk about what Scripture says, what's right and what's wrong, and how, you know, there is always redemption as long as you're alive. Y'all got anything else you want
to add? I got one last scripture I'd like to read.
Yeah.
It's Psalms 31, verse 3, and this is at a point in David's life when everybody was trying to kill him. Everything had went against him. And verse 3 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me."
Amen.
In order for God to guide us and to lead us, we have to be led. We have to allow ourselves to be led. And that comes with, you know, with submission.
Yeah.
But if God's leading us and God's guiding us, He's not going to guide us down the wrong road.
No,
He's
right.
not going to tell us that it's okay to do this when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, you know, 50th time for the plea, you know, don't give in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that 2/10 of a second you have to choose on whether to click on that video or keep scrolling, please keep scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and another thing too, don't keep that door open to sin either.
Right. Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, if you're struggling with something, sometimes you want to linger on a thing. So,
mm-hmm.
We're to be dead to sin.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about that too. Yeah, keep scrolling. Know you have help with us.
Right.
You know, again, just a plea to, you know, to seek help, okay. and grow closer to Jesus. Don't allow the mud ball of sin to get completely full in your soul, you know, to where it, you know, weighs you down so much, it kills you.
If I could just give the scripture, and I hold on to the scripture, and, 1 John 1:8-9, really. It's, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
That's right.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's our hope in Christ, is that when we have messed the day up, cry out for mercy and forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Having that relationship of prayer where you may not think you've done anything wrong, but ask God forgiveness anyway. You know, keep a clean line between us and God. And it gives you an awareness that, yeah, I need to be honest with myself and honest with God, that I know, you know, I'm flesh and I need to walk right with God. And if I have failed, God forgive me. Like David said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts.
Create in me
see,
a clean
yeah,
spirit.
See if there be Psalm any 51. Wicked way in me. And when we are clean, it's easier to walk with God. When we feel clean, when we stay close and throw the phone away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we feel like that's our problem, set it aside. Find something constructive.
Yeah.
Something that points to God, something that
right.
replaces, you know, something that we're indulging in with something good. And if nothing else, pray.
Right.
You find yourself in a spot where you might fall, go pray. Walk away and pray. And you'll see a difference. You'll see God do things and heal wounds and scars, You know, there'll be scars, but those can help remind you of what God can do in your life. So it's important to pray and run from those things that are, you know, the devil wants to trap you in.
All right. I think that pretty much concludes our topic on sexual immorality. I appreciate everybody that listened. Thank you for Matthew and Greg to kind of step in. And,
thank you.
And I really appreciate the help and the discussion and the multiple takes due to technical difficulties. But thank you to everyone listening. I hope you continue listening on future podcasts. Until next time. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.